Our second scripture reading from the Old Testament now is 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Second Chronicles chapter 19, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites, and of the priests, and of the chief fathers of Israel, for the judgment of the Lord, and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you all and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Hanani. We remember that name, don't we? Who is it? Hanani was the seer that came out against Asa and told him that although at one time in his career he had relied on the Lord when the Ethiopians came up against him, now he went to Ben-Hadad of Syria to get help instead and did not rely upon the Lord. You'll remember that from a couple of chapters back. Okay, so there is a man here named Jehu, the son of Hanani. Okay, and so this Jehu is not the same Jehu that served as a monarch in Israel, you know, the guy that, we'll read about him a little bit later, chasing down the offspring of Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and that came by Athaliah and Jezebel and so on. Okay, so we'll read about that later. But this Jehu here is the son of Hanani the seer. So he is a prophet like his father was. And what does he do? He meets Jehoshaphat when he's coming back to his house in Jerusalem, notice, in peace. Why? Because God had protected him. And yet, because God had protected him, it doesn't mean that Jehoshaphat was without blame. It's a very important principle, isn't it? Sometimes we like to read providence and think that things are okay simply because we're not under any sort of seeming chastisements or judgments or anything like that. Well, Jehoshaphat leaves Ahab having sinned in that he developed an unholy association with him. And now he comes home to Jerusalem in peace, and he might have been tempted to think, well, everything's okay. I came home to my house in peace. All is well. Things are fine. But the son of Hanani, Jehu, comes out to meet him and asks him an interesting question. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord. He doesn't wait for an answer because the answer is self-evident. No. Therefore, there is wrath upon thee from the Lord. And then he encourages him also, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. Okay, so notice that true prophets don't always say good things and don't always say bad things, but always mingle them together, right? Because there are good things to be said and there may be corrections to be had. And so the truth is the truth. Sometimes it is more easy to receive and sometimes harder to receive. Jehoshaphat receives the good with the bad, and he understands now that there is some chastising wrath upon him from the Lord. How does Jehoshaphat react to that? How does he respond to that? Well, it seems to me that there is a very favorable response here in this chapter. So what does he do? Well, he goes not to make a league with Ahab, not to say, my people are as thy people, no longer. Now he goes up all the way to Dan, all the way to the north of Israel, He went to Dan, and he went to Mount Ephraim. Mount Ephraim is the northern kingdom. And he went all the way up there to do what? To bring those that were faithful and did not want to worship with Ahab and his Jezebelite prophets back to the true worship of God in Jerusalem. So that's the first thing he did. He helped those that were exiles from the northern kingdom and brought them home and made sure that they were cared for. The second thing that he did is he went out again through the people. That is, he was a king not going out of his bounds, but within his bounds. He stayed, between the lines, or he ran in his own lane, as it were. He stopped thinking about international alliances and began thinking about what should I do for my own nation and how should I stay home and make sure it's flourishing as a king. And so that's what he does. And so the other thing that he does then, beginning in verse 5, is he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, judges, so that there would be justice in the land. Why? Because righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. And so he said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for Jehovah, for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Even civil judges judge for the Lord? That's right. That's right, they do. They are God's ministers for good, as we hear in Romans chapter 13, and God gets to decide what's good. So that means that every civil judge, no matter if he's in a covenanted nation, an uncovenanted nation, a Muslim nation, a Roman Catholic nation, a Hindu nation, it doesn't matter. That judge is required to be God's judge for good. God's minister for good. Civil authority is a power that comes from God, and so God adjudicates it, God governs it, and those judges are responsible to judge, quote, for Jehovah, for the covenant-keeping, promise-honoring God. And they are, therefore, to let the fear of Jehovah be upon them, to take heed to do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. So your judgment must be upright in everything. Okay, so that was throughout all of the cities. Now we have something special that goes on in Jerusalem. We have two supreme courts in Jerusalem. The judges that were set throughout the cities, we don't read it here, but we infer it from what is done in verse 8, were both civil judges and ecclesiastical judges for matters of church and matters of state. Why do we need ecclesiastical judges? Because we need to know who's in and who's out, right? We need to know who has the rights and privileges of the word and sacraments and prayer and so on, and who doesn't have those privileges. So, in verse 8 then, moreover in Jerusalem, did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites, of the priests, of the chief of the fathers in Israel, for the judgment of the Lord, and for controversies when they, that is the people of God, returned to Jerusalem. So there were supreme courts there, just like in Deuteronomy chapter 17. In fact, what Jehoshaphat charges them with in the next couple of verses is exactly the words of Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 17, with between blood and blood, stroke and stroke, right, and so on. These are matters of church and matters of state. And he charged them in verse 9, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And so in verse 10, you see the blood and blood, law and commandment, statutes and judgments. These are ecclesiastical and civil terms, both. So there are two courts that are set up then, the court of the priests and the court of the fathers, or the court of the judges, the civil courts. And so you warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and wrath will come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and you shall not trespass. And then the chapter ends with some final instructions from Jehoshaphat. Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord. Okay, so the high priest is taking care of the church, all matters of the Lord. The son of Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. You see that? So there is the king's matters and the Lord's matters. And now we have, and also the Levites shall be officers before you. They are also doing that kind of labor. Some would say within the church and the state, and that's quite possible. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. So Jehoshaphat then receives the rebuke from Jehu, the son of Hanani, and he sets himself to work then rather in another man's nation, in his own nation, to labor for the good of his populace, bringing it under the bond of the covenant, so that they might do the law of the Lord in the civil estate and in the ecclesiastical estate. So what we have here is a good end of being rebuked by the prophet, that Jehoshaphat does good with all of that. And of course, what does his name mean? Jehovah shall judge. Jehoshaphat. Jehovah shall judge. With that then, let's stay.